So I'm going to ask you to bear with me tonight a little bit, because Paul wasn't kidding when he talked about the effects of COVID, and sometimes I lose track of things a little bit easier now than I used to, and so I might need to rely heavily on my notes, and if I get a little lost, I'll find my way eventually. So I think we can all agree that 2020 was very much like an off-road adventure gone very, very wrong. And 2021 hasn't proven itself to be any less traumatic so far. That said, I do remember a teaching where Liz pointed out that these are opportunities to grow closer to God, to each other, and to develop important spiritual skills that we're going to need down the road. And since we never know what tomorrow brings, I wanted to take a look at some of the reassurances God provides us with that reminds us that he'll be by our side, and with him by our side, we'll be able to handle whatever this new season throws our way. So several years ago, the youth group did a canned food drive before Thanksgiving, and I'd gotten the second of three Jeeps that I've owned in my lifetime. And I'd just gotten it a few months before, so it was my first winter with that particular car. And we'd had a significant snowfall the night before, but things were going well. We gathered at the church, we prayed, we divided into teams because we were going to have a friendly, spirited competition to see who could get the most cans for the food pantry. And in my car, on my team, was Inger, Sarah, Sophie, and Gracie. And we were near Amy's house, and I was having some trouble differentiating because we'd had some snowfall. Like, well, we all know I'm not the best driver anyway, but it was hard. Who said amen to that? But we'd had some snowfall, and I was having trouble differentiating all the white, and we may have ended up kind of in a ditch like this with some very scared teenagers praying for their lives in the back. And Inger and I were trying to figure out how we were going to handle that. Carrie and Amy, I'm really sorry. Like, I promise that most of the time when your kids were with us, they were safe. And they grew up to be productive adults, which I claim some part of. But we weren't able to get out at first, and so after some panicked yelps and quick prayers, we were kind of frozen just sitting there because we didn't really want the car to tip anymore. And so all of a sudden, I realized that when I had purchased that Jeep, one of the things that the dealer told me about was that it was trail rated, which I had no idea what that even meant. But I was real excited about it at the time, and so all of a sudden, while we were sitting there frozen trying to figure out what to do, I realized it was trail rated. And I pushed some buttons that I thought might be the right ones. And I said, this thing's trail rated. And so we said a quick prayer all together. And I hit the gas. And wouldn't you know, that Jeep just started rolling right out of that ditch. And we like ended up on all four tires again. And I asked Gracie and Sophie recently in a text if they remembered that. And Gracie didn't remember it as well. And Sophie's like, oh, yeah. And she still, she said she remembered like the amazed look on my face that Jeep actually made it out. but I got to thinking, what is trail rated? And I looked it up, of course, and according to the manufacturer, that designation was created in 2004 to show which Jeeps are considered to be trail worthy, which means that they pass rigorous tests and meet strict specifications that prove their ability to overcome obstacles and maintain functionality thanks to upgraded parts and modifications. Being trailworthy means that they can overcome bad weather and push ahead regardless of the terrain they're traveling on. They carry confidence to take on tough challenges and push past their own limits. So as I said, I've had three Jeeps throughout my lifetime, and this particular one that I have now is my second trail-rated one. With the youth group story I mentioned in mind, I had to do a little research into what it takes for a vehicle to earn that badge of honor. And I found that there are five different qualifiers: water fording, traction, maneuverability, ground clearance, and off-road articulation. So I want to provide a basic natural explanation for each feature and then make a biblical comparison of sorts. Excuse me. So we'll start with water fording. Waterfording is basically having the ability to cross through a body of water that would normally bring other vehicles to a standstill. Trail-rated vehicles can traverse through up to 30 inches of water with ease. Inger can probably attest to that because there are these sweet ditches between Vitus and DeVille Road, and several times we tested my car's trail ratedness and ability to waterford. And it turned out okay. So I just wanted to quickly go to one verse in Isaiah 43:2, and it's kind of funny. It's been a while since I've used like a first generation Bible app, but figured I should probably bring paper up here. But Isaiah 43:2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Has anyone ever felt maybe they were in a little too deep sometimes? I'm glad it's not just me. I like the whole verse, but I especially like when God says the rivers shall not overflow us. Life's difficulties can definitely be overwhelming at times and feel like they're going to consume us, but this is one of many promises throughout his word that we're never alone, and that the things that try to pull us under and keep us there can't and won't be successful. I realize that this scripture is about rivers, which are typically taller than the 30-inch maximum water height covered by the trail rated standard, but I think we know God's, you know, able to part things like the Red Sea, so I'm just going to trust that he won't lead us anywhere that he can't take us through. The next feature is traction, and most of us probably have an idea of what that means, but traction prevents wheels from slipping when driving on slippery surfaces. It's particularly effective when driving up a slippery hill and can help a vehicle handle unpredictable road conditions. We don't need to turn to this scripture because it's short, but Psalm 17:5 says, "Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not." If we're doing our best to walk in God's ways, our footsteps will definitely be more steady. The next feature is maneuverability. Maneuverability is a controlled change in movement and the ability to proceed skillfully. So I want to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. So Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So the type of straight mentioned, we know there's a couple different ways to spell straight, and the type of straight mentioned is a narrow passage. In order to make it through successfully, a vehicle must be able to right itself as it proceeds over rocky terrain that threatens to pull it one way or the other. And when they do the testing on these trail-rated Jeeps, I guess they do them, I've never been to Michigan, but they do it in northern Michigan, where it's apparently pretty frigid and pretty rocky. So they probably have people like Jeremiah doing the testing. Ground clearance is another feature, the fourth of five. And it's the amount of space between the lowest part of a vehicle, other than the parts designed to actually touch the road, like the tires, and the road. Lots of ground clearance is helpful when you're driving on rough or rocky terrain. With a higher ride height, we have improved visibility to see and avoid obstacles as much as possible. And so I wanted to just quickly turn to Habakkuk 3:19. Which I totally had this paper in and then took out. It's going to take me a second. So Habakkuk 3:19 says, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments." So I wondered for a second what was so special about hinds' feet. And So of course I Googled it. It said, a hind is a female deer that can place her back feet where her front feet stepped. She's sure-footed, agile, able to climb impossible high mountain terrains that others can't. Kind of like a trail-rated Jeep, right? And last but not least, off-road articulation. This one was kind of hard for me to articulate when I was trying to figure out how to explain it, but it's basically the ability of a vehicle to keep as many wheels as possible in contact with the ground when one of the wheels isn't. According to one source I reviewed, as one axle is forced up, the other side is forced down so that maximum traction and stability are maintained. It works the other way around too. When one wheel drops down into a pothole, for example, the opposite higher wheel maintains contact with the ground. In other words, it's the ability to dig deeper and continue on even when life situations leave us feeling a bit uneven. So I wanted to turn to Genesis chapter 32, verses 24 through 28. Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Now, we know Jacob kind of deceived his father into giving him his brother's birthright blessing. And I think at this point, he'd been away for like 20 years from his brother, and then they were going to be coming face to face. So he had good reason to be afraid. And he kind of divided his people and his belongings and his livestock, everything up, and sent them on their way. But in verse 24, he was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And we know this man was an angel of God. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, the angel saw that he prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. I dare say that, metaphorically speaking, Jacob had a wheel in the air once his hip was dislocated. Sometimes we have to be relentless and diligent when seeking something from the Lord. And there are times when, despite being trail-rated, our undercarriage might become damaged in the process. But God only lets things go so far. Do you ever wonder why the angel let Jacob win? We know he had supernatural powers, kind of like Jesus did when he was on the cross and could have gotten himself down. The angel totally could have won that wrestling match. I was thinking about it a little bit, and I was thinking about how I've been teaching Cadence over the last few months to play just some simple board games, and sometimes I win because I do think that kids need to learn how to handle disappointment appropriately, but I also let her win a fair amount of the time, and as a result of winning, I can like visually see her confidence increase, and she's willing at that point then to keep trying, which then improves her skill set. And so I've actually had to actually start like paying attention when I play Connect Four with her now. She's getting kind of good. But we look at verse 30 again where he says, I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved. And Jacob knew if God had blessed his efforts and his perseverance that he would have his back and would give him the fortitude to handle whatever Esau could throw his way. The challenges we face strengthen us, try us like gold in the fire, and equip us for the next stretch of our journey. So there's a nifty little thing called a trail-rated accessory kit. Anyone have a guess what's inside? A toe strap. It conveniently contains gloves, D-rings, and a toe strap because we know we're going to get stuck sometimes and we're going to need help. It's my experience that he's never late. He puts the perfect help in our path exactly when we need it. I'm willing to bet that living where we do, most or all of us have had the exciting experience of slipping and ending up somewhere we might not want to be, especially in that slushy type snow that pulls you toward like the side or the center of the road. Good traction allows us to prevent slipping or to work our way out of a pit if we do find ourselves in one, so that we can get our bearings back and reestablish ourselves on the road. Let's quickly check out Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 2. Psalms 40, 1 through 2. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I think that's fairly self-explanatory. We've all probably been in a miry pit or two in our lives, and God's able to get us out if we seek him first and diligently. I also looked into a different example that many of us here are probably familiar with. In the interest of time, I won't read the whole account in Joshua because it spans several chapters. But I wanted to take a moment to consider the account of Rahab the harlot and the two men that Joshua sent to spy on Jericho before they took it over with the power of God behind them. The two spies ended up stuck, and they were in need of help when they were found out. Their lives were at stake. Rahab hid them and kept their secret in exchange for their promise to save her and her household when they conquered Jericho. The cool thing about this report is that not only were the spies provided with the assistance they needed, but God used them to reach a soul that most people wouldn't have thought had a chance. And only God knows the heart of a person. I was thinking about it, and I have to wonder how many people would have ever had a clue that I would have an interest in God, considering where he found me at. Because only he knew about the nights that I cried out for his help in the middle of the night, the walks alone as a kid where I would talk to him for hours, trying to figure out what to do with my mess of a life, and the prayers I said from the time I was a small child to see if he was real. Rahab needed a tow to get unstuck just as much as Joshua's spies did. It was no coincidence that their paths crossed. It was an act of God, and he hasn't changed. If anyone listening to this is wondering if there's still help available for you, the answer is yes. Whether you're a new soul looking or you've been serving him for 50 years, he still loves you, he still wants you, and he's more than capable of meeting your needs, whatever they may be. There's no better roadside assistance plan than that. I'll never cease to be amazed at the ways God's taken care of me and the people he's put in my life, many of whom are sitting in this building or watching through the camera. Grateful and humbled don't even begin to describe what I feel when I reflect on his works in my life over the past 42 years. God believes we're trail worthy with his power. I saw a photo a while back that said, I tried to throw in the towel, but God threw it back and said, wipe your face, you're almost there. We're not in a sprint, we're in a marathon. Are you ready for a huge shock? I'm not a runner. I've never done a marathon, except spiritually. But I know a little about him because I know people that do. So imagine that you're 25 miles into the 26.2 miles of a marathon. You're tired, your muscles are cramping, your skin is probably chafing in places you didn't know it could. You might be thirsty and you're questioning whether it's really worth it and whether you're actually capable of finishing. Suddenly, while you're debating all of this in your head, you hear a voice right beside you telling you you're almost there to look up. When you do, you see that voice belongs to Jesus. And he's cheering you on and reminding you that he's been with you the whole way and he will stay with you until you cross the finish line. Off in the distance, you can barely make out what appears to be the finish line and you see a cloud of witnesses as well as the faces of those who have gone before and are waiting for our arrival with eagerness and anticipation. And I'm sorry, because they're mine, like their faces flashed through my mind, and I can't wait to see them again. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When it seems like the world is going crazy, or we all know that the world kind of is going crazy, remember that it's happened before. All we can do is watch for the signs we've learned about over the years and be as ready as possible for what's to come. Imagine having been alive during any of the previous world wars, especially World War II. Natural disasters without the supports of current civilization, or the plethora of illnesses that eradicated entire populations without medical science available to mitigate any of the effects. Where exactly were God intended for us to be on his perfect timeline? And when challenges come our way, we must pause and be mindful of the fact that, just like a trail-rated Jeep, we're built for this. I'll be honest, I was feeling a little conflicted about being up here tonight because I've been navigating some rocky tundra in my personal life for a while now. And things have been a bit harder than they already were since I got sick with COVID, and I didn't want to stand up here and feel like a fraud while delivering this neatly packaged content that I've been studying, but then God found a way to remind me that I'm not being a fraud. I'm simply utilizing the tools he's given to keep the three tires I have left on the ground to dig deeper and to get enough traction to keep going. And that's what he expects us to do. It occurred to me, I don't know why it was a revelation, but it doesn't matter how fast or how slow we're going, even if it's 1 inch at a time, what he wants is for us to keep moving forward. We've been given the ability to navigate and overcome the rockiest of roads. God and the people he's blessed us with will be there to support us, cheer us on, and help us out when we get stuck along the way. So in closing, as the musicians come up, I would invite you to keep climbing mountains and traversing valleys, remembering that with Jesus, we're trail-rated, and we will make it to our final destination successfully. Thanks for your time.